And let's go ahead and get started here with verse 13. It says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon." I told you the last time we were together, that just simply meant it was a strong northeast wind. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest we should fall into the quicksands, we strake sail, so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, and the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Now let's just stop right there. The last time that we were together, which was 2 weeks ago, the details of this passage were discussed pretty in depth, and so we're not gonna rehash all of that. But I do want to just kind of put this situation in perspective for you again. You're dealing with a bad storm, okay? In fact, verse 20 tells us there, Paul says, "No small tempest lay upon us." In other words, Paul is saying this was no little storm. This is a big storm. And he says that all hope was lost. And so I ask if there were anybody here that had ever been out in the middle of the ocean on a big ship or any kind of boat for that matter, and several of you have. I have. It's scary just to be out in the middle of the ocean on calm seas and look in any direction and not see land, and then especially at night. Okay, and so you multiply that 100-fold or 1,000-fold here in this situation where there's a storm, a roaring wind creating waves that are going to violently raise the ship up from the bow, then to the stern, and then fall out from under it, and then scores of feet just free fall below until it hits the bottom, and then do it all over again for really hour upon hour, and in this case day after day. Okay, it's just, there would be no way to walk on the ship, there would be no way to get any rest, seasickness, all of this over the course of, and trying to eat, trying to prepare something to eat and this sort of thing. 276 people on this boat. And we'll see some of the texts that lie ahead. And so you can just imagine the despair and the fear and all of this, not only just the hardship, the physical, the exhaustion, but then that fear of, you know, when are we going to go under and drown, you know? And so all of this, that just kind of puts it in perspective, the kind of situation what they are in there. And what they need, anytime there's a crisis like that, what people need is leadership. And especially if it's a life or death situation, you need spiritual leadership. And so that's where Paul, our Apostle Paul, is going to step up. And he is, Paul, remember, is a prisoner himself on the ship. He's a prisoner, but he's going to rise to the occasion. He's going to step up, and he's going to take a leadership role here that's going to make a difference in the lives of everybody on that boat. With that being said, let's pick up in verse 21. It says, "But after long abstinence, now that's simply, we won't take time to study that, but that abstinence, simply speaking of the fact after a long time without eating, it's simply saying they haven't eaten anything, okay? "Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, but it shall be even as it were was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And so when they were setting, if you'll remember back, they were setting in the harbor back in Fair Havens, the harbor at Crete. And if you'll remember, Paul tried to warn the powers that be, guys, we don't need to launch this ship. We need to hold up. And it's not the right time to be doing this. And they didn't heed it. They didn't listen to Apostle Paul, okay? Now, as human nature would have it, with their lives on the line, and it's a life or death situation, they're desperate for answers, okay? And so now when Paul steps up to speak, they already know Paul's a spiritual leader. They've already observed. We talked about that. He already had the ear of the centurion and the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship. They all respected him. Now they're ready to listen. They're hanging on his every word. And Paul does what a spiritual leader should do. Paul encourages them, and he says, be of good cheer. Now, Paul is doing more than just giving them empty words to lift their spirits. It's more than just some sort of motivational speech. Paul is telling them uplifting words based upon truth. Because why? Paul has just heard from the Lord. What Paul is telling them is divine inspiration. Divine revelation, rather, would be more appropriate. God has told Paul something, and now Paul's communicating it to them. And when you and I give godly counsel, biblical counsel, we can have that same confidence. We're telling them not just something to make them feel better, but we're telling them something they can actually feel better because it's true. Your future's bright because God's word says this. That's essentially what the Apostle Paul is doing here. He has the confidence of telling them, hey, things are going to be all right. Be of good cheer. But he did not say that without first, in verse 21, he says, guys, you should have listened to me back in Crete. Now, when we read that at first sight, you kind of think, well, Paul, that's kind of a little bit prideful and immature, isn't it, to kind of throw that up in their face. But in really what Paul's not, would think about it, he's not saying that with an attitude of, hey, I told you so. Paul is really saying that, probably anyway, saying that to really solidify his credibility. In other words, guys, I had this spiritual insight back there. I mean, he's substantiating his position as a man of God as, hey, I knew already, so now it's time to listen. And so I would venture to say that's more of what Paul is saying than a prideful I told you so. Guys, it's time now going forward. If you'll just heed my counsel, everything's going to be all right. And that would be more the Apostle Paul that we know to be true, okay? And then he goes on and he begins to give them details of what he's heard from God. And in verse 23 there, he says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. So Paul is saying, hey, my God, the one I know, he's faithful, he's trustworthy, I belong to him, and he says, I'm going to Rome. He says that I'm going to stand before Caesar in Rome. Well, the only way that's going to happen is if Paul survives, right? We know that. And so with that being the case, if God says he's going to see Paul in Rome, then there's no storm big enough and there's no shipwreck devastating enough to put Paul in harm's way, because he's going to Rome. God assures Paul of that. But he also gives him a little bit, his step of assurance goes a little bit further. In verse 24 he says, and lo, I have given thee all that sail with thee. So not only has the angel of the Lord told Paul, hey, you're going to make it to Rome, but all his other guys are going to survive this trip as well. Now, Paul is being protected by God. And you see here that's to the benefit of others. The majority of whom, the greater majority of whom don't even know God at all. But that's kind of the way things work. Unbelievers in this world don't realize the degree of mercy that they experience every day because of the presence of Christians. Our nation is that way. The degree of mercy shown to America is in great to a great extent based on the fact that this is a highly Christian nation. And I believe that. And it's increasingly going the other direction. But still, I believe God's merciful to America because of its being, because we Christians, and I don't say that boastfully. But he says there to, he shares that with them. He says, God's come to me through the angel of the Lord, told me that I'm going to stand before Caesar and Rome, and the rest of you guys are going to survive as well. It's interesting, the term that's used there in verse 24. Notice he says, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. The angel of the Lord says, Paul, God hath given thee all these other guys that are on the ship. What does that mean? Well, I looked it up because I thought that's kind of phrase kind of funny there. That given thee is a term that carries the ideal of being granted something. God has given thee. What does that tell us? Paul has been praying fervently through the course of this ship, this disastrous storm that they're in, and near shipwreck. You know, Paul had been on his knees fervently praying, probably not so much for his own life, because he's prepared. He knows the Lord, and he knows he's in God's hands, but probably praying for all of these scores of lost souls that are on the ship with him that are destined for an eternity apart from God if they were to exit this world. And so Paul, no doubt, he knows he's going to meet the Lord, but he's also praying for all these other guys. And so God says there in verse 24, through the angel of the Lord, he says, God's granted you your request. God has given thee. He's given you what you've been wanting. And I think it's pretty interesting when you look at that. Paul's prayers, God responds to Paul's prayers, and consequently the whole outfit is going to land this ship. Now, Paul is encouraging them with this truth. Again, he's a great leader. He wants to lift his people up, but he's not just lifting them up with empty words. He's lifting them up with the truth, divine revelation, what he has heard from God. However, there's always going to be skeptics, right? A lot of times anyway. And so there would likely be a lot of skeptics on a ship full of lost men. And so the first thing they're probably going to say is, okay, Paul, that sounds really good. How's that going to happen? Okay, because they're in the middle of the ocean, huge, huge storm. It's been going on for days. The ship, they've thrown most of the tackle overboard. They've lightened the load. Everything is going to pieces. And then God tells Paul, he says, no man's life is going to be lost. In verse 22, he says, but of the ship. So the angel of the Lord told Paul, says, the ship's going down. He says, we're going to lose the ship, but nobody else is going to die. And so you can imagine the mindset of these guys. How's that going to happen? We're, none of us are that good as swimmers, okay? But Paul gives them this one last little glimpse of truth that had been revealed to him from God, and we find it in verse 26. He says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Under the circumstances that they were in, they wouldn't even known if there was an island near them. They had no way of knowing unless they sounded, which they later are going to do. But at that point, they didn't. And so if the ship is going to be lost, how are we going to keep from drowning? That would have been a pretty legitimate question. But you have to realize that Paul had been told by the angel of the Lord, hey, the ship's going to run upon an island. The ship's going to be destroyed. We'll find that out later. But everybody's going to make it onto the island. Here's what we got to know. If God says he's going to save you, he can appoint an island anywhere he wants to, okay? If you're in a shipwreck, if you're in a storm, whatever, if God has allowed it to come across his desk, he's allowed it to come into your life, then there is a way that for you to survive it. He's gonna provide the island, so to speak, okay? So, God can do anything he wants. He's God. He tells Paul what he's going to do. Paul says in verse 25, notice this, and then we're done. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me. Paul says, I don't have any question in my mind now. God told me the ship's going to go down, but all of us are going to survive, so it's as good as gold. And Paul's lifting up the people's spirit with that, and we'll see the next time we're together. Verse 27, first thing, you know, they've been 14 days in this storm. You can imagine the amount of fatigue, and Paul tells them, guys, you hadn't eaten in 14 days, and he encouraged them, sit down. I don't know that you could sit out on a ship like that in that those circumstances. But he says, guys, let's have something to eat. Everything's going to be all right, okay? So let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed. And